Drink a lot of booze. You're just admitting you're going to get drunk?
Yes, I am definitely going. I haven't had a day off in a while. I'm definitely going to have a few vodkas on the rocks tomorrow. Definitely.
I haven't had a day off since January 1 of 2004.
Oh, my gosh. Cry me a river, Bill Belichick, okay? Be quiet.
I haven't had a day off since 1924, and I fucking work at home every fucking day.
Shut up. Nobody fucking cares. Shut up.
Wait a minute. You're the guy that whines about everything you have to do, and your standard response is, blow me. So, I say to you, blow me.
No, you can't do that. That's my saying. It's copyright infringement. You'll be talking to my lawyer later today, okay?
Your lawyer can blow me, too.
Oh, okay. Let's go, motherfucker! Here we go. All right, it's Chris Sims. Unbuttoned PFTPM.
Man, we're starting off on a low note. That's only going to go down from here.
You know it. I love this. Happy fucking Thanksgiving to everybody. Okay.
Now that's trademarked.
there we go.
That's on a t-shirt somewhere.
But we're going to do our little Thanksgiving Day special podcast here. Just the three games. We're going to talk about them. And then later this afternoon, we will do our normal PFTPM Chris Sims Unbuttoned Week 12 picks, everything that went on in the NFL. It is Week 12, right? Am I right about that? No, it's Week 13. I'm wrong.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. You were 10 minutes late for the 10 a.m. Eastern podcast. Will you be at least 10 minutes late for the noon? Should I factor that into my planning and my work?
We'll see. I mean, you know, NBC, they'll probably schedule 7 more things for me to do in between then and now. And then, you know, so it just never ends. It'll never end. I'm going to be here all day. Like I said, haven't had a day off in forever. And they're just going to try to cram in 7 weeks of shit in today. Got to get our money's worth out of them to where Sims is working for minimum wage when it's all said and done. You ready? All right. You like that?
No, I don't. I don't think 2 weeks counts as forever.
No.
I think you got a day off 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was more than 2 weeks ago.
Okay, three.
Okay, here
All
we
right,
go.
Let's
you
go.
Ready? Let's
three
start.
Only.
Three only.
Are we going to pick one best bet? And we're doing the recap of last week, I assume, in the next one. We're not getting into all the ways I kicked your ass later.
Yeah, just so you know, anybody wants to know for that, we tightened our best bets. Yeah. I beat you straight up. Okay, there it is.
By one game.
Beat you. You know what they say. Okay. If you ain't first, you're last. All right, here we go.
All right.
Bears, Lions. Bears favored by 3.5 points. Over under at 37.5. Whoa, Vegas is expecting an offensive explosion in this one. We don't know about Jeff Driscoll, whether he plays in the game. He's got a hamstring injury, so that certainly is playing into my thinking here. You know, as you've said many times this week, the Bears are somehow still in this conversation with one of the crappier offenses in football, but that speaks to how good their defense is. It's a Super Bowl defense. That's all you have to really say about the situation. So go ahead, Mike, lead us off. How do you think it plays off for our first game of Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, look, I mean, this is a classic matchup. I can remember the game that finished with a kickoff return for a touchdown in overtime. I believe it was 1980. I may be wrong. If I am, who cares? But the idea that it may not be Jeff Driscoll because Matthew Stafford has been out for several weeks with a back injury, the David Blough, as in Mr. Plough and or the Plough King, one of those two nicknames will apply if he ends up playing. I just can't have any faith in the Lions. I know you hear all the time, oh, they're so tough to beat on Thanksgiving. No, they're not. They're the Lions. The Titans, when Chris played for them, beat the Lions 47-10 on Thanksgiving.
Right.
So I think the Bears win this game, and I think the Bears cover the spread. I've got 20-10, whether it's Jeff Driscoll or whether it's Mr. Plough or whether it's the Plough King or whether it's whoever they find out in the parking lot who has a quarterback number on his jersey. Whoever it is, it's not going to matter. Even though the Bears, I don't think, are good enough to get into the conversation for the postseason in the NFC. I think Mitchell Trubisky will eventually be exposed by a good team, and they haven't played a good team since they saw the Rams, and the Rams weren't even all that good, and the Rams beat them by 10 points.
Right.
So I just think that, the Bears win. Yeah, they get to 6-6, but they're more likely to be 6-10 than 10-6.
Yeah, I hear you there, and you know I'm with you. I don't know if you know Jeff Driscoll really makes that big of a difference to me. Maybe it's an extra 6 or 7 points, but you know again, the Bears' defense is dominant, and I think that's been lost in translation a little bit this year because we're always talking about you know the horrible Bears offense, Trubisky, Nagy, what's the identity, all of those things. And I really think, you know, I said this in the show today, I think the Bears defense is really probably one of the two or three best in football, and it is top five statistically, but when you have crap on the other side of the ball and you're on the field every four plays, that can stress you out, of course. They are the fourth best defense in football. But I'm going with you for, of course, the defensive reasons, and then the Lions just play too much man coverage, in my opinion, too. And I think that, you know, Trubisky has been a little bit better as of late, at least taking some advantage of what's there to be had. I'm going to go with the Bears 24-7. I'm picking this as in David Blau is the quarterback. I do think the Bears will either score a defensive touchdown, at the very worst, get an interception, sack, fumble deep in Lions territory to where the Bears get an easy 10-yard drive for a touchdown or something like that. I think that'll be the theme of the game. If a guy like Jeff Driskel does play, okay, 24-14, 24-13, something like that. But ultimately, I just think that Bears defense will dominate the day on Thanksgiving. And when it's your hamstring and Driskel, who really relies on running and is not a great thrower, even if he plays, it'll only be a matter of time, just from my history in the sport, before that thing gives way again and he's got to get out of the game, or he's so severely limited that he can't do anything except just sit in the pocket, and that's not his game. So we're on the same page there.
We're talking about a quick turnaround. So what's your final score? What is it?
24-7, Bears.
Yeesh. All right. I'll stick with 20-10. I don't care who the quarterback is, and I don't really care about the game other than it's football. It's on TV. It's a good game to have on in the background while you're getting your food ready. You know, the Lions game is usually a good background game. The Cowboys game is a good, let's focus on it after we emerge from our food coma game. And then the night game is, hey, let's hang around and have a drink and hope that we get a good game type of a game.
What time do you guys usually, you know, open up the turkey and eat dinner in the Florio house?
2 o'clock. I wish it was later in the day.
Yeah.
But 2 o'clock, for whatever reason, ends up being the time that we do it, which is fine. It gives me a chance to eat. It gives me a chance to pass out for a little bit, and then I can watch the Cowboys game.
Yeah, we're a later in the day family there, so we really don't probably eat our Thanksgiving meal till around 5:30. So we will have the TV on for that Cowboys-Bills game as we're eating, and let's get to that. That is the game of the day. The 8-3 Buffalo Bills at the 6-5 Dallas Cowboys. Jason Garrett, his ass is hot. It's hot as hell. And the Cowboys are favored by 6.5 points, over under at 46.5. I think the Bills are good. I think the Bills are a tough matchup, Mike. How do you think it goes?
Yeah, I feel like that, as we discussed on PFT Live today, Jerry Jones knows what he's doing, even when it seems like he doesn't. He is deliberately applying maximum pressure to Jason Garrett. The shot that was obvious on Sunday, there was no backing off on Tuesday when Jerry Jones did his once of two per week radio spots on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And he's trying to put that gauntlet down. He wants Garrett to either pass or fail. This is the test. And I think he's going to pass. We've seen him do well when his back's against the wall in the past, most recently. Remember the Sunday night game against the Eagles? There was some speculation if they lost that one. Who knows what happens with Jason Garrett? I really think that at some point the Cowboys need to think about flipping to a guy like Chris Richard. Maybe he can get more out of the talent that Jerry and Stephen Jones have amassed. But I think the Cowboys win. I think they respond well to this, even though the players are saying that it's not a distraction. It may not be a distraction. It may be a galvanizing force, right? They've been playing for Jason Garrett. They like Jason Garrett.
Yep.
If they didn't, he'd already be gone. And I think they win it 23-16. I don't expect a very high-scoring game. I'm a little nervous about the over-under on this one. You know, it's funny because Bills-Broncos, I was determined that was going to be under, and it was. Cowboys-Patriots, I was determined it was going to be under, and it was. But now you take two of those teams and you put them together. Bills-Cowboys, I'm not messing with the over-under. But I do like the Cowboys 23-16, which would allow them to cover. I think they will. And it saves Jason Garrett for at least another week.
Yeah, I know. The Garrett situation is really interesting. I am one that thinks no matter what, you don't fire him after this week just because this team is still talented. They still have a chance to win the NFC East. And I don't know if making that change is going to change anything. But it's certainly an interesting discussion. The Cowboys, as we know, they're very talented on offense. It's the number one offense in football, just barely ahead of the Baltimore Ravens. You know, the Buffalo Bills defense is awesome. I mean, it's awesome. And that's kind of got – nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about Buffalo in general. Just because they're up in Buffalo, there's not a lot of sex appeal on the offensive side of the ball. People are going to see how real this defense is. First of all, it's the third-rated defense in football in total yards per game. It's third in football in passing defense behind, you know, the Patriots and the 49ers. It's third in football in points allowed per game at 15.7, only behind the 49ers and the Patriots. You know, if there's one issue to their defense at all, it is their run defense, which is not horrible. You know, it's 14th in football. Now, will the Dallas Cowboys be able to run the ball on them? I would think so to a degree. As I always say, Sean McDermott is an amazing coach. He's got great breakdowns of what offenses do and always seems to have his guys dropping in the areas of where an offense is trying to attack, and I really respect him there. The nation's also going to get to see Josh Allen tomorrow, and I do think with the simplicity of the Dallas defense and a guy like Josh Allen who can move around a little bit, he's going to give this Cowboys defense some problems. I do think that. You know, the Cowboys, you know, I do want to say this. Against great defenses, all right, they haven't been good. They've lost all three games against top 10 defenses. The Jets, the Patriots, and the Saints. All three are losses. You know, now we can also flip it over and go, who have the Bills really played, right? And their Bills defense is great. What great offense have they played this year? There's really only one offense I think that I can compare maybe to Dallas on their schedule just to give a little history of what I think, and that would be the Browns, right? And the Browns, they only let up 19 points against them, but they have a similar formula to what, you know, the Dallas Cowboys do. Nick Chubb, Zeke Elliott, you know, Odell and Amari Cooper and, you know, whatever, Cobb and Gallup, Jarvis Landry. So there's some similarities there. But ultimately, I think just because of what you said, I think Dallas is desperate. I do think they're the more talented team on the field. I'm going with a close one, though. I will not be shocked if Buffalo wins this game, but I'm going to pick Dallas 20-17, and they pull that out and end up 7-5 and all said and done.
And let me guess, you pick Dallas to win and the Bills to cover is going to be your best bet of the day. I can already feel it coming because it worked for you last week when you took the Cowboys to cover as a best bet, but the Patriots to win the game outright. What does Amari Cooper do this week after being shut down by Stephon Gilmore?
Yeah, well, I think the big thing is, and you know, of course, Stephon Gilmore did really well against him last week. The other thing is New England played a little bit more zone in that game than I've seen them play this year. Buffalo is not a real man-to-man type team. That's not what they want to do. They just dabble in it to keep you honest every now and then. They really want to play zone. I do think he'll get back on track and have a pretty good day. I don't think, from people I've talked to, too, he's not 100% right now. So that's the other issue. I mean, he's dealt with some injuries. I think he's playing a little less then, but I do think he'll get back on track. And I'm really, really excited for this game because it's playoff teams. The Dallas Cowboys from, you know, what I want to say from the great Ferris Bueller movie, you know, their butts are going to be so tight you could stick a lump of coal up there and get a pull out a diamond a few hours later. So that's going to be fun to watch. I am picking the Cowboys to win. All right, anything else you want to add about that?
Now, I just really do believe that if the Cowboys lose, it's going to be important to watch the news all day long on Friday, and I'm not just doing that to promote the available products from ProFootballTalk.com, whether it's podcast, radio show, TV show, or website, but I think it's going to be very important because I think it could happen. At a minimum, there will be something that Jerry Jones has to say either after the game or the next morning, and it could get very interesting if they should lose. I don't think they will. You don't think they will, but you think the Bills will cover.
Yep, I do, and I'm with you. I will be tuned in. I mean, I can guarantee when I wake up Friday morning, I will be going on to Pro Football Talk to see the first thing. Did Jason Garrett get fired this morning, before I woke up? All right.
Or you can tune in to PFT Live since you won't be on. Big Cat will be with me. You need to watch. What is that? Is that Tony Romo and Jim Nantz?
I don't know, Jim.
Stop it. If you're not at work, we talk about you and make fun of you, so you need to watch.
Yeah, I heard.
Hear what
Thank
we're saying
you.
About
Thank you,
you
very yeah. much. All right, we got a little business to do here because, you know, after the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is a staple in my house, like I love to wake up and eat breakfast and watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade on NBC for New York here in our area. But after that is the National Dog Show. And I know my Aunt Wendy, who loves watching us every day, she loves to watch the dog show and change the fucking channel on me sometimes, all right? And I'm like, Wendy, are you freaking kidding me? And with the Bears and the Lions, I might let her do that
a little. Do you go F-bomb with Aunt Wendy when she tries to change the channel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do. Wendy, are you fucking kidding me?
Really?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, she's from Jersey. She understands these words. But either way, the National Dog Show, Thanksgiving tradition. It isn't just about football. You have the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade at 9 a.m. Eastern on NBC, followed by the National Dog Show presented by Purina. And this year, we had Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir on site. We're on site handing our superlatives. What? Let's listen to this.
Here at the National Dog Show, there is competition going on left and right.
So we've decided to host our own little competition. It's
Canine Superlatives.
Let's go.
I think we might have found Beth's hair.
I'm sorry.
Afghan hound.
What?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
B wins superlative for best tail. Look at that Danish croissant moment.
Smallest dog. It's a tie, actually.
The wrinkliest dog.
Yes, no Botox here.
What hairspray do you use? It smells like me.
I found the fluffiest dog. The friendliest dog.
The golden retriever.
Kevin.
Kevin.
The fanciest dog. His hair almost rivals yours. Maybe a new award? No. We're with Mittens the Akita, and we award him with the biggest paws.
Mittens must need some big mittens.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like that. And I know you have your dog, Macy, matter of fact, who you love and you constantly talk about and send pictures. She sounds like an awesome dog. She was involved in our podcast a few weeks ago when your power went out and she was barking a few times. And she was 1-0 in our picks.
As I was trying to come up here to do this, and I could have spent 10 more minutes with her, she didn't want me to leave. And she'll like stick her paw out so you'll grab her paw and hold her paw. And every time I try to walk away, she would do it. And I finally said, I have to go. I don't want to be late. Chris is counting on me to be on time. And then you were 10 minutes late.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Back to the whole Aunt Wendy F-bomb.
Right.
How old were you the first time you decided to take the chance of dropping an F-bomb in front of Phil?
Ooh.
And how nervous were you about what the reaction was going to be?
Oh, okay. That's a very good question. I'm going to say... Now, Phil taught me to swear. Now, he'll try to play like he was a good dad and didn't do that. When I call him out at live, I called him out on the podcast. But I'm going to say I started throwing it out there a little bit around like maybe the end of 7th grade, 8th grade. And, you know, I didn't just throw it out around the house where I was like, hey, fuck you, Dad. Like, it wasn't like that. I would never disrespect my father or parents like that. But I think they heard me, like, maybe in the driveway if we were playing two-on-two basketball or something like that. And, you know, he really actually was pretty good with it. He'd be like, excuse me? Excuse me? And then, you know, oh, sorry. You know, then I miss a play, I miss a shot a few plays later, and I'd be like, oh, fuck. What? Excuse me? So that's kind of how it went down. But he couldn't talk much because he taught me how to swear.
Let me say one thing.
Right.
My mom would use the garden variety swear words when I was growing up. But, of course, if I ever let one out, I got the backhand to the face or the shoe to the face or whatever the case may be or the paddle on the ass. But you heard it all the time. You hear it all the time, but God forbid you let it slip, you're in trouble. My dad never said anything, but I was like 17 years old, and he was on the phone with someone. He didn't think I was around, and he let one fly. You know the lip reading we saw of John Gruden the other day multiple...
Motherfucker, is that what he had John Gruden said?
Yeah. And he let that fly, and I said, hey... And he was mortified. Oh, you didn't hear anything. I didn't say anything. You didn't hear anything. So anyway.
That's great.
That's enough of that.
That's great. I love how people...
What do we got next?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'll move on before I get myself in trouble. Either way, Thanksgiving at noon, noon Eastern on NBC, the National Dog Show. All right. Now we got our nightcapper on NBC. We will have Mike Tirico there, Coach Dungy, Rodney Harrison. I know they were out at Falcons practice yesterday. So they'll be all over it. We got the Saints at the Falcons. Saints favored by 6.5, over under at 48.5. These two teams played just 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, excuse me. So that memory will be fresh in the Saints' minds. The Falcons upset the Saints off of a bye week for the Saints. What do you think happens here, Mike? How much do you have the Saints winning this game by?
Well, you know, the fact that the Falcons beat the Saints in New Orleans makes this game more interesting, sort of.
Yeah.
On the other side of the coin, the fact that the Falcons beat the Saints in their own building makes it more likely that the Saints are going to drop the hammer on them. I mean, the Falcons already caught them napping once. Surely they're not going to catch them napping again. But the fact that the Falcons just lost at home to the Bucs maybe softens the Saints up a little bit. And they had that tough game. When I talked to Cam Jordan afterward, you know, what's the toughest part about playing Thanksgiving night? I got 100 hours to get healthy.
Right.
And, you know, very conscious of getting themselves ready. And maybe they'll struggle with that. I don't know. I think the Saints win. I think it's going to be a really high-scoring game. I think it's going to be a fun game. I got 38-31. You know, the Falcons at this point, they're just playing the role of spoiler. They're not going to get in at 8-8. Not in the NFC. Not this year. This is just an opportunity to throw a wrench into the Saints' plans, which I'm sure they'd love to do. And I think the pressure's off of them now.
Yeah.
Just go play. This is the last time this year anybody is going to give a shit about the Falcons.
That's right.
And this is their chance. This is their Super Bowl. And after this, they're just finishing out the string and changing coaches and making other changes. But this is the opportunity one last time to screw things up for the Saints, get people to say, hey, maybe the Falcons aren't complete and total ass. And so I think they make it interesting, but I think the Saints win 7 points, 38-31.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I got the Saints winning two, and I'm going Saints 31-21. I think this is what scares me just a little if I'm the Saints. First off, do we know the status of Marshon Lattimore right now for this game? That's just one thing that interests me, because I do think he is, you know, a game changer for that Saints defense. You know, his ability to, like a Stephon Gilmore or a Jalen Ramsey, to match up and play the other team's receiver man-to-man, it is special. It gives them a little leeway as far as what the Saints want to do on defense. It gives them another element of creativity, too. So that's always intriguing to me. You know, I'm picking the Saints to win 31-21, but where I find the Falcons dangerous in this is, one, the Raheem Morris factor. And we talked about this when the Falcons beat the Saints a few weeks ago. Raheem Morris spent years and years with me in Tampa defending John Gruden in practice. So he really has a good understanding. And this is what I took away from the first matchup. He's got a good understanding of taking away, you know, the underneath passing game that makes the Saints so special. Alvin Kamara out of the backfield, Michael Thomas, you know, shallow crosses, slot slants, all these ways that Sean Payton finds ways to stress your defense out with formations and motions, and then he gets Michael Thomas matched up on a middle linebacker, or, you know, he gets them matched up against a slot receiver with no help, or slot corner, sorry, with no help around him, or Alvin Kamara out of the backfield matched up against a linebacker. And that's one of the big things I took away from that first matchup. Now, the Saints did come off a bye week, and I think they were caught napping at the wheel, as you said earlier today on PFT. I do believe that. You know, I haven't loved the way the Saints' defense has looked. They are not the same without Marshon Lattimore. PJ Williams, Eli Apple, they can't play man-to-man. And that's kind of what happened to them last week, Mike. The Carolina Panthers made some big plays against man-to-man coverage, and then the Saints got scared to play man from there on out, and they just played zone for pretty much the rest of the game. And then the Panthers started to dink and dunk them a little bit. They almost did what the Saints usually do to people. But either way, I just think the Saints are too good up front on both sides of the ball, and that's where I worry about the Falcons, and that's why I go 31-21 Saints.
Final injury designations will come out later today. Marshon Lattimore was limited in practice Monday and Tuesday, although Monday they don't have a real practice. They do an approximation. Julio Jones, no practice Monday or Tuesday. No practice at all. He's got the shoulder injury that he suffered against the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
So the Wednesday injury report is going to be key. That'll come out in the afternoon. That'll have the labels, questionable, doubtful, or out. So we'll know about Julio Jones then. I still like the Saints, and I think it'll be a high-scoring game. Because the Falcons, I think, are just going to, who cares at this point? Go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, sure.
Fake
that
punts.
Could be.
Do whatever you have to do. Force the issue, which could cause it to be a blowout where the Saints cover on their own.
Right.
Or they're both going to score enough points. I'm surprised by the over-under on this one. When you consider Bills Cowboys is 47.5 and Saints Falcons is 48.5, something's wrong there. And I think the over-under is too low for the Saints Falcons.
I would agree with you there. I that was surprising to me too when I first saw that. All right, we got our picks. We agree on all of them. Now it's best bets time, a Thanksgiving special. We're just picking one here, and like I said earlier, the PFTPM Chris Sims Unbuttoned collaboration, we will go through the rest of the games of Week 13 later today and do three best bets then as well. But this is only for tomorrow, Thursday, Thanksgiving. What will be your best bet, Michael James Florio?
Well, and here's the thing. You've got me onto the whole over-under thing. And for me, I'm capable of getting a much stronger feeling about overs and unders, because there's no, you know, like a lot of times, for example, we both picked the Jaguars to win the AFC South. So I let that prediction, I let chasing that prediction influence my picks.
Yeah.
Like when they played the Colts a couple of weeks ago, I felt good about the Jaguars because I'm still thinking this is a team that should win the division. Over-under allows you to completely disconnect what you think about
it,
the teams, what
right.
you thought the teams would be. It's just a cold, dispassionate, wait a minute, something's wrong here. And I'm only going to touch it if I have a very strong instinct that something's wrong. And I just made the point. The Dallas Cowboy over-under is 46.5. The Saints Falcons over-under is 48.5. I may have gotten it wrong earlier. It's 46.5, not 47.5. That's too low for Saints Falcons. I think this one's sailing over 48.5. My best bet, Saints Falcons over 48.5. Book it. Bet the farm, but don't literally bet the farm. Please bet responsibly.
Yep. Okay. What was your Bills Cowboys score? 23-16?
Yes.
So that would be the under, too. So I thought maybe that's where you're going to go. But okay. I'm going to go with the Bears.
I can see that one getting out of hand, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's that big platform game, and I can see the Cowboys taking some chances.
Right. Josh Allen kind of first game
some
in the big stage.
Plays.
Right.
Yeah, I could see that one getting out of hand. And there have been some very high-scoring Cowboys Thanksgiving games, so it made me nervous. I just didn't have that feeling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's all driven by what's that feeling. And my feeling is Saints-Falcons is going to be a high-scoring game. Take the over there. Stay away from Cowboys Bills.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to go Bears Lions, and I'm taking the Bears. I mean, I'm taking the Bears straight up. I think they're going to win by more than 3.5 points. As ugly as that offense is, I just think that this is a game setting up with the quarterback situation with the Detroit Lions, whether it's David Blau or Jeff Driskel, that it's just going to be too tough for them offensively to move the ball on this Bears defense. And I think that the Bears will just do enough offense, but I expect the Bears defense to contribute to this win. You know, like we saw last year, what'd they do? They had a pick six, they had another interception, they had something like that. And the fact that I think it's just like, it's all over for the Lions, and you lose to the crappy Redskins. And the fact that the Bears are still fighting for something, I just think their emotions and intensity in the third and fourth quarter will allow them to pull away here. And I'm going with the Bears to cover the spread. I think they will cover it easily.
Here's the other reality, too.
Yeah.
With Jason Garrett's ass on the line, I feel like the players are going to respond. With Matt Patricia's ass potentially on the line, I mean, the problem is, and this is a fact that I think, especially if you're a Patriots assistant that's going to try to simulate the Patriot way, you got to be damn sure that it's not a 4 or 5 year turnaround of that roster. And my guess is there's guys on that roster that do not like Matt Patricia because he came in and he disrupted their world.
Right.
He punctured their bubble
sure.
of comfort.
Right.
He made football not fun because they're trying to win. For the Patriots, fun is the night you win the Super Bowl and the night you get your rings. Two nights out of the year. The rest of it's work. The rest of it's dedication. The rest of it is building toward the two nights of fun. And I don't, you know, to the extent that there's concern about Patricia being in trouble, I don't think the Lions players give a shit, whereas the Cowboys players do. And that's just a reflection of that culture, that bad Lions culture that has been in existence for 60 years, and watch them go ahead and do something stupid and clean house and try to start over again. And there'll be a team like that goes 8-8, 9-7, maybe gets to the playoffs once every 4 or 5 years, but wonders why they can't build something that is sustained year in and year out.
I think that's very real, and I think your point's real just because, I mean, hey, you heard that people were mad about the Quandre Diggs trade to Seattle. You've heard Darius Slay not be happy. So I would imagine that that is a real feeling in the locker room. Also, you know, I want to ask you this. If the Saints beat the Falcons, let's say, I know you picked 38-31. Let's say the Saints win 38-17. Are we going to wake up Friday morning and Dan Quinn going to be in trouble?
I don't think so. I think that Arthur Blank has already crossed that bridge that he's going to wait till the end of the year. Although, I think it's foolish. Now, I can't rule it out because at some point you have to ask yourself, do I give the opportunity to a guy on the staff to audition for the job, whether it's Raheem Morris, whether it's Mike Mularkey, whether it's my buddy Dirk Cutter, whoever it may be,
right?
But the problem is, and I talked about this earlier today on PFT Live, you can get that artificial bump from an interim coach because the players start playing hard for him because they don't want a stranger to the organization. They'd rather have a guy they know and a guy who feels indebted to them for busting their asses to get him a 3 or 4 year contract, and then they can go back to underachieving next year. That's the danger. But I can't rule it out completely, but everything we've seen and heard so far points to no in-season coaching change for Arthur Blank. And I feel like this is the billionaire's prerogative. When you feel like everyone on the outside is pushing you to do something, you're the billionaire. He can say, screw all of you. I'm going to do what I want to do. Right. And I feel like that's part of the mentality.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't doubt that at all. I'll have my eye on that, though, too. That'll be interesting to watch if that does happen.
Isn't that amazing,
though?
We could have three coaches
in
serious jeopardy coming out of tomorrow's games.
Yes.
I think that I would rank them Garrett 1, Patricia 2, Quinn 3.
Right.
But if the Lions, Cowboys, and Falcons all lose, and we both like two of those three to lose, who knows what will happen on Friday? I'm just trying to push some traffic to PFT on Black Friday.
Oh.
When you're driving your wife around to all the sales and you're in the car waiting, you know, that's kind of how it goes. That's how it works, right? If you're out at the store yourself, you put your AirPods in and you can listen so you don't have to deal with the other humans. Because if I'm going to go out shopping, I don't want to deal with the other humans. But there have been plenty of times where I've been sitting for my wife waiting, and I wish I would have had something to listen to, like what we're going to have available on Friday on PFT Live. So that's my sales pitch.
Yeah, good.
When you're stuck waiting because you don't want to deal with the people, check us out because we're with you Friday morning and we'll be reacting to everything that happens and we'll have all the updated news. I may have to do an emergency podcast on Friday.
Okay.
If there's a coaching firing after we go off the air.
All right.
You want to come out? You want to make the drive over? You're only 5 minutes away.
Absolutely not. That will not happen. Absolutely not. But I do think that's a good thing, and check it out, everybody out there. Listen, Florio is going to be all over it. It'll be copy paste, snarky comment, but he'll be all over this coaching stuff, as we always say. And, hey, you the man. Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Okay. And I'll talk to you later. Again, like I said, we are both going to do the rest of our week 13 picks later today. Please subscribe, rate PFT PM and the Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast. Mike, you the man. I hope you lose your bet and I win mine. Screw you. Happy Thanksgiving. See you later.
See you later.